Good morning. Please turn on over in your Bibles to John chapter 1. Yes, this is a guest speaker, but he's been in your midst all along. And for sake of time, I won't spend too much time on this thought, but man, don't take for granted the good teaching that we have here in this assembly. Amen? I heard good things about Kevin's class, and I know that it was fantastic, and I really appreciated Josh and Kendall, and it's so encouraging that there are several people that you can point to, and they just have good, solid teaching. Amen? I mean, there are so many different people I grew up with ended up so far away, and I mean far away from the truth. And it's sad to think of how they could get so far off, and how did they get to this far distant place? They didn't hold on to the truth. We have this. We have good teaching, and I'm ready to dive into it. How about you? So John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. I get to come up here and preach from your word this morning. Thank you so much for each individual that's here. I just pray that we can really be attentive to what you want us to hear, really through the scripture and the teaching, and just pray that we can be encouraged by one another. I pray that we can actively think how to encourage one another, and we can have a great potluck day. Just pray we can take the things we hear today and apply them, as Roger mentioned in opening, that we can actually do things and rather than just talk about them. And I pray that I can speak clearly and preach the things that you want to be preached. And it's in your son's name I pray. Amen. Amen. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness cannot comprehend. The darkness will not overpower light. It can't. And that's something that you're like, yeah, of course, I know that. We flip on the light switch. You know, I went down to the basement this morning to work on my message a little bit, you know, just go back over it. And I flipped the light switch. It's a dark basement. Voila, it's light. It's something that we take for granted a lot of times. But I say we live in dark times, at least on the earth. The world is a dark place. It really is. If you think back throughout time, I mean, think through all of the different ages, people probably thought that they were in the worst of it. I mean, World War II was probably really scary. The Civil War, probably horrifying to know that people are doing such things to their brothers. Go back, various famines, various plagues, different. So many different things have happened throughout time. There's been a lot of dark times. And our time is no different. The world is still a dark place. Very dark. You know, you could look into politics. I don't try to go down the politics path, but you look into all of that stuff, man, it's just depressing. Does that brighten your day when you just, the first thing you do is you scroll on Facebook and you see all of this garbage on there? Does that make that lighten up your world? How about this? Romans talks about how there comes a time when people will give hearty approval to what is wrong. We're having certain things just shoved and crammed at us. It's no longer just, you can't, you know, tolerate the evil. Just tolerate it. Just accept it. It's no longer that. We are being told that we need to condone it, to give hearty approval to evil. The darkness is definitely present, and this is going to tie into the message. The title of my message is Light in the Lord. And it's something that we walked into the kitchen this morning, and I got blinded by the light, and Mrs. Simpson was in there, and she got blinded by the light, and it was bright in there. And, you know, it's like, wow, the light catches your attention, doesn't it? I mean, if you're driving down the road and you're trying to see the road and that sun is right in your eyes, light is powerful. So I want to break my message into three parts. First part is, what is light? God is the light, and you are light. The first part, what is light? Okay, we're going to cover a lot of verses soon. Not right off the bat, but if God makes a statement that He is light, there's something about the physical nature of light that we should consider. Do you agree? What is light? Okay. Simple. I might go off a little on some tangents, so just bear with me. If there's one thing that you really take away from this, is that light is something that makes things visible. Makes vision possible. Okay? So if I lost you on everything I'm about to say, just know that light makes things visible. And I guess, to be fair, like all scientists, a lot of scientists, they don't really understand a lot of nature. So who knows? 20 years might go by, and they might have changed their mind on half of these things. So light is an electromagnetic radiation of any wavelength. Okay, it's like a wave that travels in a vacuum at 186,000 miles per second. Specifically, what we're going to be talking about is visible light. That's what we're really interested in, but there's a lot of, you know, microwaves, gamma rays, different things. Specifically, such radiation that is visible to the human eye. So we can see it. Now, light is not like sound. Okay, sound is like vibrating. And it needs a medium to pass through. Okay, in the water, you know, sound passes through water, vibrates through, passes through the air. As I'm saying things, you guys are able to receive sound. Light is not like that, actually. Light doesn't need a medium to pass through. So a good example is space. Think about space. It's been a while since I've seen a movie about space. But I don't know what movie this is from. Way back, I don't know anything about it, but I just remember there was like this crash, a bunch of stuff was crashing, and all of a sudden they zoom out to outside of the equipment, and it was completely silent. Because sound has nothing to travel through. Now light doesn't need that though. Light travels through space. Actually, the sun is about 93 million miles away from Earth. And we see it very, very clearly. The rays are definitely getting to us. Light doesn't need that. Here's an interesting concept, though. If you're out in the vacuum of space, why is space so dark? Because there's no matter in all of space, really, for you to see something being made visible. There has to be matter. Light hits that and it reflects, and that's how you interpret it. Again, like I said, I'm not trying to go too far down that road. But light makes things visible. Morgan and I were watching a show. You guys can start turning over your Bibles to Ephesians 5. We were watching a show. It was actually a documentary. And you guys probably have seen it, but it's about these 12 soccer kids that are way back. They get trapped in a cave. It was 2018. It was in Thailand, actually. And, you know, most people have never really experienced complete and utter darkness where there's no light. But these kids were trapped way over a mile in the back of a cave in complete and utter darkness. Can you imagine being in a position where you cannot see the hand in front of your face? Now, is your hand there? Yeah, absolutely. But light is super important. It makes things visible. Ephesians 5, Let's just read verse 13. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. I want to shift into my second point, is that God is light. God is light. So I explain what is light in a physical nature. And darkness, really, is the absence of light. Okay? So there's not really any substance. Light is an actual something. It's an actual wave of energy. Darkness is just the absence of light. That's all that darkness is. Let's go on over to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now that makes a lot of sense, because we just talked about light in a physical sense. There is no darkness in God at all. If the definition of darkness is the absence of light, the definition of sin is the absence of God. Think about this. People ask the question, can God sin? Well, that's like asking, can light be dark? It just doesn't even make any sense. It's not even a logical question. God cannot sin, because sin, by very definition, is the absence of who he is. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Let's go on over to John chapter 8. Actually, let's go a little past there and go to John chapter 1 again. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. This is Jesus. Verse 3. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. John was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Again, I'm not going to... When I was looking into what I wanted to say for this, there are 19 different ways I could have gone with this message. So much good content on this, guys. But I just want to get the overarching, what is being communicated. Jesus is the true light. And we take light for granted all the time. You get to see stuff all of the time. I'm just here to tell you, if you never translated the concept that light is a representation of God, then you've missed the importance of seeing. What good is if you had perfect vision your entire life and you never saw the true light? Jesus was a true light. And I thought about turning to Isaiah 9. We're not going to, but you can write it down. Isaiah 9 obviously is a picture of Jesus. And it talks about he's going to be a light to light away for the people who are in darkness. Jesus is the true light. God is light. Let's go on over to James chapter 1. In John 8, John 12, there's a few times Jesus, he says, hey, I'm the light of the world. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. Coming down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Kind of sounds like in whom there is no darkness at all. There's not even a shadow. So that's why I love God's word, because when he tells it to you, he tells it to you straight. There is no variation in his character and who he is. Kind of what Josh was talking about. God is light. He's the very essence of it. There's something spiritual that we need to be understanding from the physical. James goes on and he talks about a bunch of different things. 1 Timothy says that God dwells in unapproachable light. Look back at 2 Corinthians 3. You'll see some cool things. And Moses was mentioned and the glory of God. Man, there's some pretty powerful things in the Bible. But God dwells in unapproachable light. He is the Father of lights. In James chapter 1, it actually goes on and it talks about, hey, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer. It's kind of like, goes back to opening, Roger. It's kind of like you see in here, okay, God says, I'm light. I am light. God is the light. I am the light of the world. I'm to go out and to shine for him. And then you put it down. James says, hey, if you are not a doer of the word, you're like somebody who looks into the mirror, walks away, and forgets immediately what he looks at. Like, if we look into the word of God and we see what we're supposed, God is saying you're light, what we're supposed to be seeing, and you set that down and you forget that, you don't live up to, that's what he's saying. If you don't do what it says, what does it matter? God is light, and I'm going to tie this into our responsibility. I mentioned that God dwells in unapproachable light. Well, if the opposite of being in God's presence is darkness, you see a few times in Matthew, actually, it looks like when you go out of God's presence, it's called outer darkness. Now, not to belittle the people who have gone through very traumatic experiences, such as those kids in the back of that cave. Several days, complete darkness. But being outside the presence of God for eternity, outer darkness. There's something spiritual about that. We can only physically relate. But I don't want to be there. I want to be in God's presence. I want to be in the light. How about you? Amen. So God is light. There's a culture this day and age, and I think it's always been around, but people say they like being into dark things. You guys are probably familiar with that. You know, I like things that are really dark. I like this specific type of show or this genre of whatever. I like these things because, you know, they're kind of dark by nature. And that's becoming, I've heard that so many times. I've even heard people say this, I'm a very dark person by nature. Well, is that really a good mindset to have for the Christian? Is it? I have said things similar to that, so I'm speaking to myself maybe. But is that something that God would say? God describes himself and says, I am light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. I didn't say that. I didn't come up with that. God did. What is our identity? This is where I want to tie this into us. The third point is you, Christian, are light. You are light. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. You know, when I was a kid, there were some times that we played hide and seek in the dark. And I don't remember exactly all the group settings and whatnot, but when you play hide and seek in the dark, the guy who is running around with the flashlight to see where he's going, you can't hide from anybody, right? When it's nighttime and that guy is using a flashlight to see where he's going, man, he might as well just be yelling out loud, "Here I am, here I am, here I am." There's something that's being communicated by that. When God says that you are light in the world. If you're really shining for Christ, man, people are going to see that from a mile away. We get a crank on that and shine brightly for him. Sometimes I think people try to dim that. We're going to cover Matthew 5, and Jesus says, you know, why would you have a light and then cover it? You know, that defeats the whole purpose of it. But light is one of those things that it just catches your attention. You can't help but notice it. When you're driving, it becomes evidently clear that light is very bright. Sometimes the way that we interact with the world, it may be uncomfortable for them. It might. We're going to read a little bit in here, but the darkness of the world, it doesn't want to be exposed. It doesn't want to. 1 John, when I read, God is light and in him there is no darkness at all, the context of really what looks like it's being communicated is transparency, being open and honest. Transparent. Let things be exposed. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness in silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Don't let the world, the darkness, trick you. That's all that they're going to throw at you is empty words. Verse 6, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Does it say that you formerly were in darkness, or you formerly were darkness? But guess what? Is that our identity now? The identity has shifted. You formerly were darkness, but now you are light. You are light in the Lord. Let's keep going. Verse 9. End of verse 8. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Man, that's good. Reminds me of Colossians 1. It says, you're transferred in the kingdom of his beloved Son from the domain of darkness. We are to be light to the world. And you know, if we don't shine, then who's going to shine? The world? Is the world going to shine for Christ? We are the light. We are light in the Lord. Let's go on over to Philippians chapter 2. I thought even about bringing John 16 and reading it as well. We're not going to turn there, but John 16 talks about, you know, you ask people, what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? in you. Well, John 16 makes it clear, part of what the Holy Spirit does for the Christian is that it convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, judgment. You know, there's going to be a side of this that's going to be uncomfortable. But you know what? To think about if somebody's really in a dark place, and somebody is not just happy in the darkness, but somebody's really in a dark place, if they see that light, you know, there's always the two types of people. You know, what's the light at the end of the tunnel? Is that a train or is that the other side? You know, some people, they run away from the light. But if you're shining brightly, anybody who's genuinely interested in coming to God, they're going to see that. And they're going to be attracted to that. And, you know, I've thought about this personally. What's my best game plan of getting people to come to me? Or, you know, how do I interact with people of the world? You know, just shine brightly for Christ, and that will weed out a lot of those people that are not interested right off the bat. You shine brightly for Christ, anybody who's genuinely truth-seeking right off the bat, they're going to come up to you and maybe have a conversation with you about something. They see something. I want to know more about you. What do you actually stand for? And you can explain to them more in depth what you actually stand on. But we are the light of the world. Philippians 2, verse 18. No, not 18. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. A lot of these look kind of scary because he's saying there's a bunch of bad stuff, right? You're in the midst of an evil, perverse generation. There's a lot of darkness out there. Don't be with the unfruitful deeds of wicked people. You know, there's all of these bad things all the time. But, guys, we were made for this. You were called to this specific time, in this specific day and age. You are here. God has called you for this purpose. You are the light to that. That is what your job is. You have been called to this. You know, we might question, man, why now? Why here? Why am I in a day and age where I'm having to deal with this or this or that? Why is everything so bad now in the world? You were called to this time to shine. You appear as lights in the world. That's pretty cool. If you're not shining, there's no light. When I was thinking about some examples, when we were growing up, I grew up in Texas, and so we would drive over to Arizona occasionally. And there would be some periods towards the end of our drive where it would just be hours and hours in the dark. And if you're in the desert and it's dark, it's just really dark. And the cool thing is that you can see the stars kind of clearly sometimes, but then it gets dusty and then it gets dark all over again. You know, you start going through the ravines, you start going over the hills. Eventually, you see it. You see it in the distance. You see all the lights. That dark desert landscape, everything is dark, and then all of a sudden, the light pops up. It catches your attention, doesn't it? That's what we are. We are lights of the world. Matthew 5, let's go on over to Matthew chapter 5. This is a very common verse, but Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. 14 through 16. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I don't know if I could summarize anything better than that. Let your light shine in a way that people see your good works and they glorify your Father who is in heaven. I want to go to one last verse, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, and we'll do verses 14 through 18. And this is something that my mom made us memorize when we were kids. Well, Proverbs 4, 18. Proverbs 4, verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Let's stand. Are you ready to shine bright for Christ this week? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for many, many blessings you have given to us. Thank you so much for this assembly, each individual that has taken time to do the important things, things that are necessary. I just pray that we can see that you are blessing us in those things. You've blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And I pray that we can see ourselves as light to this generation that is definitely dark, and it's getting ever so dark, darker and darker. I just pray that that prompts us to shine brighter, prompts us to push on even harder. Pray that we can see our identity in day-to-day things, and that will impact the way that we interact with people at work, social media, family, holidays, whatever it might be, God, that we can live as blameless and innocent people, that people will look upon our good works and glorify you, Father. And just ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.